for tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, July the 5th, 2002, Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Chuck Flynn of Orange, California is the speaker of the evening.
What a glorious time we've had tonight in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and all the heat and summer camp meeting. We're so happy to see you. It just seems like a wonderful sitting at His feet when there's a corporate anointing, and when one has a prophecy and a teaching. Paul said it that way. He said one might have a song, one might have a tongue, and interpretation or a teaching or a doctrine. And it just seems like it's so beautiful. I love to see the body of Christ in operation.
Amen.
Amen. And so we just thank God for it. Our theme is Deuteronomy 6:23. I brought you out to bring you in. Now, that's a beautiful statement that God told him. And Deuteronomy chapter 6, he said, I want you to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength and might. And then I want you to know what I've done for you. If you're going to love the Lord with all of your capacity of love, I'm going to show you the true love of the Father. I'm going to bring you in. I brought you out of degradation and sin and immorality. I'm going to bring your mind into the peace of mind. And your soul and your spirit shall be quickened of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You're going to know the wonderful accomplishments and how I've dealt with my people through the ages, with Israel, the prophets, and the patriarchs, and you're going to learn the lessons. If you'll learn the lessons, I'll bring you into my heart. Amen?
Amen.
If we can learn the lessons that God has taught many, it's such a beautiful thing, what He's bringing us into. Let's go to John chapter 6 and see what I saw here recently, this beautiful miracle of the multitude that was fed. But the sixth chapter of John. Sixth chapter of John. Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, preacher, sisters. Come up here, Mildred. You got me stirred up tonight. Hallelujah. Put your hand on my forehead and pray God's anointing. And everybody that will minister the word, and or you have something that you're presenting before the Lord, whether it's business, ministry, whatever it is, reach your hands out toward me, because the anointing is here. Hallelujah.
Yea, my son, I called you. I promised you to anoint you. I promised that you would speak my word, and as you speak it, it'll be like a flame of fire, and the fire shall begin to burn in the heart of
Whoa.
Those that hear you, and you shall bring change to my people.
Yes.
And I will heal your body. I will make you strong in me, saith the Lord. And I will bring you a whole new word to give to the people.
Do it.
For that is what my kingdom must be firmly established by my people, saith the Lord.
Amen.
For there's a world of men out who yet has not heard my word.
Mm-hmm.
And they are waiting. And they're waiting for signs and wonders to accomplish this. And I, the Lord, will do it. But I will bless you in the secret place of the Most High. And I will place you there beside me on a rock. Yea, and many shall see the glory of God as you speak and as you stand before the people. And I will heal every affliction in your body. And I will save you, saith God. For you shall be my servant,
yes,
my king, saith God.
I receive it.
And our Lord, anoint. Anointing, a new anointing.
Yes, hallelujah.
Anointing, a powerful.
Oh, Sanda
at Rundell.
Yes, hallelujah.
The hem of your garment.
Off of Aaron's beard and onto his garment. Hallelujah. Yes, despair is over. Glory to God. Out of our innermost being. Purama Shandalaba, Handalaba Shandalaba. Purama Sikalaba Handa. Hallelujah. Handalaba, Shandalaba, Handa. Glory to God. Putama Shatalama, Handalaba, Shanda. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Handalaba, Shandalama. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Kandalama shandalama handa. Yes.
It'll
be a new anointing. It'll do a
new work. It'll not be yours. It'll
be my word, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. So now we anoint you a special anointing. If you find your assignment and fulfill it. Thank you, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody that needs to be made alive. Oh, the Masanda, the Mahanda, the Masanda. Praise the Lord. Not by might, let's say it. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Handalama Shandalama. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Horama Sikarabahanda. Hold John 6. I want to just express, because of the anointing, that we have more than we realize. Let's go to Acts 2, verse 11. In Acts 2:11, this shocked me the other day. I have Jack Havert's, the editor of that Spirit-Filled Life Bible, and Dick Mills did this word study, and he forgot that he had done this. And Acts 2, And verse 11, it says that there's many nations that hear them speak in their language. The tongues of fire encompass the earth. See, this was a sign that the Holy Ghost is going to go throughout the world. It wasn't just for Jerusalem. And so in the miracle of tongues, it's the Tower of Babel in reverse. The Tower of Babel, I recommend, I was surprised, Glenn, that you have the two Babylons. Be sure to buy that. It gives you not only about the different religious groups and the main group, but it really opens your eyes to know that at the Tower of Babel, Nimrod and the boys thought they could get to heaven. Some say that's seventh floor. But God set many languages and therefore separated them and their effort to get to heaven without God. And that was the beginning of all religious and idolatrous moods and modes of religious activity. And so when they the tower produced, out of one language came many. So when the Holy Ghost, after the resurrection of our Lord and ascension, the Holy Ghost fell upon the believers to build another tower. And that tower is the body of Christ. And if a man builds a tower, Jesus said in Luke 14, he's got to sit down and count the cost. And you don't become a Christian because you've counted the cost. He is the one that's already counted the cost. He went to Calvary. It's already accomplished. Your salvation is complete. It is finished. So the tower is going to be built. Amen. And then, in that concept of divine authority, the Holy Ghost fell upon the believers. Mary, the mother of our Lord, was there. A lot of women were there. The disciples, it names them in Acts 1:14. And it names Mary's other boys. There was four boys that Mary had after Jesus. There was James, Joseph, Simon, and Jude. Then there was three girls that Mary had, three daughters. And they were in, when Jesus was in Nazareth, the men said, are not his sisters still with us? So there was at least Mary and his brethren. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. The tongues of fire came upon them. The anointing of the Lord was so precious. And the Son of Man anointing came forth in the rushing mighty wind. Now the Son of Man, Jesus called himself Son of Man over 84 times. More than any other name, Jesus calls himself Son of Man. Where did that originate? Well, it first was originating in Psalms 8. The Son of Man, that you would visit him. And therefore, the Son of Man was spoken also, and Daniel was in the original revelation. And write this down, Daniel 7, verse 13. He tells that the Ancient of Days, Daniel in chapter 7, mentions three times of intervals and dispensations that the Ancient of Days has control of all creative history and future. That's why chapter 7 of Daniel is so important. And in verse 18 it says the saints of the Most High will take the kingdom and possess it. That's it. I mean, that's the whole story. That's what the Holy Ghost has been telling us tonight. You're not just having saved to have fire insurance to miss hell. We're to take the kingdom and possess it. What is that scripture? The kingdom of God will suffer violence and the violent take it by force. And so that's the implication here of Son of Man. So in verse 13, the Ancient of Days, it's already set up with his throne and the wheels of fire. Now, they are wheels of justice. See, the Ancient of Days, to me, in biblical exegetical studies, it just means study the Bible, exegesis, it means that the Ancient of Days is the highest office of God the Father. The Ancient of Days. And the Word created all things. That's Jesus. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. John brings that out. So we have the Word is the Creator. But in the origin of, we won't say time, but in the beginnings, we have the Ancient of Days calling forth from the clouds. Now, when I flew in here yesterday, there was many clouds around. And they were fluffy, and they were white, and so beautiful. But the pilot went through one of them, and that plane jostled back and forth. There's a lot of turmoil in the cloud. There's a lot of wind and activity. And out of the cloud came the Son of Man. And the Ancient of Days calls him Son of Man. And the Word, the Hebrew words there, as far as I can tell, looking it up, in the original is B-A-R-I-N-A-S-H. Say it with me, Bar-A-Nosh. Bar-A-Nosh. Bar-A-Nosh means the winnower or the whirlwind that goes over the humanity and the creative humanity of every generation, bringing in to the heavenly kingdom the believer that will accept Christ. Hallelujah. And so the Son of Man is the whirlwind that moves upon humanity to bring them unto, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Son of Man. That's why Jesus, it's a key to the Gospels. Every time he says Son of Man, you better know what he's talking about. Study it. Because there's a key there that will increase your spiritual enlightenment into several steps of achievement in spiritual perception and wisdom. Amen. Because that key of the whirlwind is the thing that is so important. And many times it was during the night season. Jacob had the tremendous prophecy come upon him and the glory. And out of the whirlwind, God will speak many places in the Bible. And remember Elijah? It came time for Elijah to be translated. And he didn't go up in any chariot. He went up in the Son of Man. The whirlwind. And you have, by the anointing of the seal of the Son of Man on you, by the baptism of fire, you have around you the whirlwind, the rushing, mighty wind. And bless God. Amen. If you're not translated, then you're to be inspired to have the energy and the double portion of the spirit of fire that Elijah had. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So that whirlwind glory comes upon us, and that Son of Man authority. So that's why Jesus is our baptizer, that on the day of Pentecost, the rushing mighty wind. Now, rushing underline it, and you write down the Greek word is furrow, P-H-E-R-O, furrow. Furrow did not enhance me. It just means a strong activity that out of the clouds comes that Son of Man anointing in my life. But I wondered, what else? Where is this word used? Now, the Holy Ghost used that word furrow, P-H-E-R-O. Now, I want someone to look up. Are you a good reader, hon? Look up 2 Peter 1:21. Or you find it. It's all right. Anybody around here? 2 Peter. Now, here I was studying the Word of God, and these word studies are important. I want to not only just preach something, I want us to live it. And let's walk in it. And so I want you to be a part of this as we study it. All right, you got it?
Now, Simon, a servant.
Second. Okay, you got it now. Chapter 1, go down here to verse 21. Everybody got that?
Yeah.
Okay, read verse 20.
Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
Well, that's pretty good. Read that 20th verse again. For?
For the prophecy came not in old times.
Came not in old time.
By the will of man.
Mm-hmm.
But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
So the holy men of God spoke, and we're talking about Scripture. We're talking about the prophetic word that has been turned into Scripture. So now, in our day, holy men of God and women of God is implied there. All of us have the opportunity that here the prophetic Scripture turns into the prophetic anointing in our lives. So see, they spake it, it became Scripture, and we read it, and it becomes the spoken word or the prophetic. God will bring to pass. Thank you, dear. The word there is, what did the Holy Ghost move? They were what? They spake as they were. What is that word?
They spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Moved. Isn't that interesting? The word moved means they were saturated in the whirlwind. The whirlwind of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost. They were moved on. And the same word is used. Furrow. P-H-E-R-O. The same word for rushing that came on the day of Pentecost on the disciples. Here, the Apostle Peter is teaching us that holy men of God were anointed and moved on by the same rushing mighty wind that anoints your life and you speak in the Holy Ghost fire. And you have the same anointing that Holy Ghost men wrote Scripture. You have the same anointing to understand the Scripture. Glory to God. Don't let Jesus hear you say, well, I don't know, that's too deep for me. No, sir, the Scripture by the Spirit is you and I. And that's why I thank God for a little bit that God's taught me through the years. Because I pray in tongues. Mary Ann and I, we pray in tongues at the breakfast table usually, and God just reveals things to us. Just, it's beautiful to study the Word of God and the anointing of the furrow. You're being moved on by the Holy Ghost. All right, let's seal ourselves by the moving of the Holy Ghost so we'll understand Scripture. Take your right hand, put it on your forehead. We seal you according to Ephesians 1:13. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise in the anointing of the word promise. The promises of the Scripture. I loose the understanding of revelation of Scripture to everyone that believes that you're sealed and moved on by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Same anointings on me that was on John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The same anointings on you when we study the Word that was on them when they wrote it. Hallelujah. The rushing, the wind, the whirlwind of the Son of Man gives me revelation of His glory and His anointing. The rushing mighty wind. Let's look at the word wind. It's a maternity term. It's a place where babies are born. The word that Dr. Luke, isn't it interesting that God loves us? The Holy Ghost, it's marvelous. The Jesus love just poured out on Dr. Luke. He knew he was a physician. He had been through medical situations. And the Holy Ghost just sort of stepped back and said, Luke, this is what happened on the day of Pentecost. The tongues of fire come on them, the anointing and the glory. Now, Luke, just write it. Just whatever you, I want to give you. He gave him the environment of revelation. And Dr. Luke, by his own background, he began to write, the rushing mighty wind. And he used the word for a maternity term for wind. No A. It's P-N-O-E. No A. P-N-O-E is the Greek for the breath of beginnings. That in a maternity ward, when a mother pushes and prevails, and through the birth canal, the baby comes, and the maid or the doctor will shock the baby's body, and that first breath is the description of the baptism of the Spirit, the breath of beginnings. Hallelujah! It's not another breath of a religious act. It's a breath of the beginnings of communion with God. Hallelujah! That your salvation has redeemed you. And now you've come into the kingdom in a gracious manner. You're ruling and reigning with Him now. It's a beautiful thing. You're in the priestly anointing. Now you're in the kingly anointing. Breath of beginnings of the Lord Jesus abiding within us. That's why Jesus was so beautiful when He says in John 14:23, if you love Me, you're going to keep My words. And My Father will love you with a greater love than even the love that redeems you. Of John 3:16, that love's great. That love that redeems you and sets us free, that love is beautiful. But Jesus taught us a greater love. He said it's the love that when you love Me, after you're converted, you'll love Me if you keep My word. Your love shall grow. You will have My love. You'll have the Father's love. You'll have the Holy Ghost's love. Your love will be according to your commitment to the word of the living God. If you love Me, you'll keep My word, and the Father will love you. Now, that's a different kind of love. That's not a redemptive love. The Father gives us a greater love, which possesses us. And the next sentence is, we will come and make our abode within you. The love that opens up your heart through the Scripture, that the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost moves within you. Administration, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, administration is of the Lord. That's the fivefold ministry. That's Ephesians 4, verse 6 through 11. That's a ministry for the perfecting of the saints. And here, the Apostle Paul, for the word perfect, the Holy Ghost said, Paul, what word would you think? And Paul said, well, it's a medical term. And Paul used met at enemy. He used a medical term for the perfection of the saints. The word perfect means as a surgeon sets a bone that's out of joint.
And most saints are out of joint in the body of Christ. Only the Holy Ghost can put you at the right place, the right time. Amen. I've seen some, and they just, they love the Lord, but they just never seem to get victory. You know, it's, but you're out of joint. The fivefold ministry. Now, God never intended on the pastor being the only one in the boat.
Amen.
He wants all of his.
Right.
The anointing. As somebody says, the apostle is the thumb, and the pointing finger is the prophet, and the one that's the longest is the evangelist, the teacher, and the pastor. The fivefold ministry all together will bring the saints into their right position. Amen. We should have never had the embarrassing things that have happened in our generation that has given a blight to the body of Christ. If we'd have had apostolic anointings at the Assemblies of God and the Four Square and just the full gospel, Pentecostal wholeness, Church of God and the Church of God in Christ, if our Bible colleges would have been taught by apostolic anointings and the glory of God, our kids wouldn't wonder what is an apostle or prophet. And they'll go for 3 to 4 years and just, well, what church do I get now? And then they're in the sort of the routine. But oh, may God set us free. Set our universities free. Move upon our professors. Move upon them. I'm not downing them. I'm saying there's a better way. There's an anointing that's in the Word. That the Son of Man has already brought forth a whirlwind. Hallelujah. And he's going to churn up a lot of mess. Amen. I was talking to Sister Sandy this afternoon. We were talking about the fish, the coin in the fish's mouth. And Jesus, I said, the thing that really got me on that is, yes, Jesus paid taxes. And Peter said, yeah, the Lord pays taxes. Peter just, like a lot of people, he just lied, you know. And Jesus said, Simon, you know, the Lord knows our name, doesn't he? And he says, you know, who gives, the children or strangers, you know? And who is the one? Well, he said, strangers. And so Peter answered right. But Jesus said, lest we offend them. See, it was the temple tax. It was the support of an earthly religious system. But Jesus said something that's very important. Lest we offend them. What the Lord meant is, I'm going to raise up a last day generation that's going to offend them.
Yes. That's right.
They're going to have miracles, but it's not going to be to pay for their religious system. It's going to be miracles that will set them free, that will bring conviction, that will bring the anointing, because the children are free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lest we offend them. We won't offend them now. Go get a fish and let's buy a miracle. Pay them off. But I'm going to have a group that's going to come forth that will be strong and do exploit. I'm going to have a Holy Ghost group, hallelujah, that will be set free, hallelujah, that will know the power and the authority, hallelujah, to move in that grace and glory. Amen. Rushing mighty wind. The breath of what? Let's all take a deep breath. Hallelujah. Now speak in tongues. Kadala Mashana. Oh, Shekara Mahana. Sweet Lamb of God. Oh, hallelujah. Now let's go down to verse 11. Amen. Save your strength for the next shout. Go to verse 11. I'm at Acts 2, verse 11. Amen. I got a million of them, so just hang on. the Creeks and the Arabians. It just ends up all these nations that heard them speak, and there's a miracle there of the tongue. I feel, maybe it's my opinion, but I seem to have a little witness of the Spirit here that it doesn't matter when you speak in tongues, if it's a it is the Tower of Babel in reverse. I feel the language of the kingdom involves every nation. Somehow, the miracle of tongues, that as the Holy Spirit anoints a person of another language, they can hear their language out of you speaking in tongues. Amen. There are some occasions I've spoken maybe 5 languages at different intervals. It's been documented. Spanish, Hebrew, Assyrian, ancient Latin. A priest was set free and baptized with the Holy Ghost as I was praying in Lima, Peru, in ancient Latin. He said very few of the other priests knew that prayer. I learned it in Spain. And he said, I was so mad, but some of my friends were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues that day. Bob Frost and I was down at Lima, Peru, with Hobart Band. You know them and heard of them. And we were having it at the Villa Maria. It was a Catholic, not monastery, but the nuns trained the elite of Peru, their children. And so we had a big conference, Mother General Leonita. I remember with all of the paraphernalia and her habit, that she spoke in tongues and loved the Lord, filled with the Holy Ghost, because Bob Frost's book, I wish we could get that, Glow with the Spirit. Yeah, I know. I don't know if it's out of print. But Dr. Frost and I, the Lord spoke to me to call Bob Frost and tell him I would take him to South America and do all the legwork and everything. And it just worked out beautiful. Great meetings. And here we were praising God. People would come out of the audience. There was Methodist, Baptist, and all types of missionaries. And they would come in from Bolivia. And all that morning, people came, and we had a circle of chairs, and we would stand outside that circle. People would come and sit, and it was only maybe 5 minutes, or 10 minutes, they would just praise the Lord. All of a sudden, they would speak in tongues, and they would sing in the Spirit immediately. And they joined us, and I sang in the Spirit with my hands raised up, oh my, at least around 3 hours. It was just beautiful. And all of a sudden, I began to speak, but not from my throat. I spoke from my toes. And my whole body vibrated with the tongue. And it was something I'd never done before in that particular fashion. And all of a sudden, one of the priests, he pushed his chair back abruptly and come over toward me. And I sort of just froze, you know, stayed out of the corner of my eye. And he grabbed me and told me this story. He said, I don't like this tongues business. He said, I didn't like it. He said, but some of my friends have received the Holy Ghost language today. And he said, I come and sit in that circle. And I said, Jesus, I know you as my Savior. Lord Jesus, if this is of you, please show me, Lord. And the Lord spoke to him. He said, the Lord spoke to me. He hadn't done that very often, but he said, the Lord spoke to me and said, listen to that big guy over there. And he says, I turned and listened to you, and you were praying the perfect prayer in ancient Latin that I learned in Spain. And he was set free. He come over there, and he and I begin to sing in the Spirit together the glory of God. Now he is one of the greatest theologians of South America. Hallelujah. Now that's where tongues was the best gift. Amen. What is the best gift? To meet the need of the hour. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, this beautiful expression language. Now, let's go on to verse 11. Cretes and Arabians. What? We do hear them speak. Yes. Say it out. Who's reading it?
We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God.
Say it again.
We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful
Those are tongues of fire. But what tongues do they say?
Our tongues.
Our tongues. You're speaking in somebody's tongue. The wonderful works of God. And don't let anybody tell you that tongues were of the devil. If tongues were of the devil, how come you didn't talk in tongues when you were of the devil? Amen. And some of these smart aleck theologians, they'll go into 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Oh, we need love more than tongues. Because tongues will be done away. And prophecies will cease. Yes, it says that. It sure does. But the next verse says, knowledge also shall be done away. And you've already fulfilled that not believing in tongues. When he that's perfect has come. Amen. That's in the future when he. We will not be needful in that realm. We'll know as we're known. Amen. Knowledge also. And so they throw out the baby with the bathwater. But it's beautiful here. We do hear them speak in our tongues. These are tongues of fire. That comes upon an individual. You're praying in the tongues of mankind. You're lifting mankind into a new dimension. And as you're interceding, as Brother Glenn was talking about, you'll come and you'll kneel down and you'll pray in tongues. After you get through, don't take you long in English to be weary. And then you begin to talk in tongues. What are you doing? Go past that devotional tongue. See, go past that which you're acquainted with. The first level of tongues is your devotional tongue. Then the second level of tongues is the tongue to be interpreted in the midst of the congregation. Do all speak with tongues? That means a tongue to be interpreted. That doesn't mean the devotional tongue there. Apostle Paul is talking about the congregation there. He's not talking about talking in tongues as a devotional. Because everybody, Jude says, building up your faith. That means every child of God needs their faith built up. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, the second level is the tongue to be interpreted. The third level of tongues is the travail tongue. It means when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you and you're praying in the Spirit and all of a sudden fire comes upon you and the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, and you begin to weep and shake and the anointing grabs a hold of you and then your tongue changes. Let it change because what's happening, you're praying around the world. You're praying, as Glenn prays for the offering, he says you're praying, we're giving to our high priest, he presents it to the Father, so it is with tongues. The anointing comes upon you, the Holy Ghost goes over to Afghanistan, goes into the Far East, the Near East, the Middle East, he goes into Europe, he goes into China, he goes everywhere throughout the world, South America, in every continent of Africa, he brings through you what he wants done in that region, and you will speak it in the Holy Ghost kingdom language. And the Father hears it and dispatches angels to take care of the disturbance in the earth. That's why that's the army of the Lord. That's why we should not break rank. Amen. That's the anointing of the ranks. And so the authority of the Lord flows through us. And therefore, then that third level of Holy Ghost tongue moves through us. And we're praying and we're interceding. And your tongue, your language will change. As you go around the world, the Spirit of God will pray through you. It's one of the greatest privileges. Instead of praying for your need, if you will represent the Father
and the earth to the Father and allow the Holy Ghost to do that, you'll have your needs met before you call. He will answer. Amen. That's the divine capability. The fourth level of tongues is the harvest tongue. That's the tongue to pray the Lord of the harvest to thrust forth ministers, to open up the needs and glory of God. The prayer in the harvest tongue will release the camp facilities and expand the vision and the anointing and cleanse the pulpits of the land, and the congregations will begin to cry out for the fire of God to be restored. Hallelujah. Pray the harvest tongue. The fifth level of tongues is that emergency, that anointing of discernment and direction. As you're praying in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost will begin to lead you. Turn here, go there, call this one. The Holy Ghost wants to lead us every day. He's speaking to us. Many times as pastoring in North Little Rock, Arkansas, and also in Brea, California, I would be at the front door. Many times this happened, knocking, when the one inside, usually it was in most, some cases, was a very ill individual who was dying. A woman felt her spirit going up. She hollered to the maid to call me. She was going on her way down the hall to the phone, and the doorbell rang, and she quickly released the door and opened it as she was continuing, and there she saw me. I was at the right place, the right timing. The Holy Ghost moved through me to go and to be there. I walked in. All she did, she was so shocked. She just pointed, and I knew something was wrong. I went down to the bedroom. I walked in, and I rebuked fear. In the name of Jesus, took power over satanic power. She went back into her body and is living in Tulsa, Oklahoma today, 30-some years later. God's anointing will have you and I to be at the right place at the right time. Hallelujah. That's the harvest tongue. Or that's the emergency tongue. The sixth level of tongues is singing in the Spirit. That's when Balaam tried to curse Israel, but he could only bless Israel. Because in Numbers 24, there was a shout of a king amongst Israel. So the shout of a king means that anointing of singing in the Spirit as you sing the kingly song of victory. And that's why every morning I try to sing in the Spirit, because it takes every curse that's been derived against me, my children, my grandchildren, anything I have to do with, I turn it to the good, and the curses become blessings. Amen. When you sing in the Spirit, you reverse the curse. Hallelujah. The anointing grabs the hold of you. Let's do it. Holy Amarandalinia, the Ashikalinia, Holy Amarandalinia, Holy Andalamashuria, Attack and curse is turned into a blessing. Praise the Lord. Amen. The wonderful, what? Works of God. That's what you're doing when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You have the kingdom language. You're just telling everybody about the wonderful works of God. In fact, you're reminding the Father what He's spoken, that He will accomplish it in your life. Amen. Now, the phrase here is one word in the Greek. I want you to write it down. It's in the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. It's the Greek language the Holy Ghost used for wonderful works of God. Megalios, M-E-G-A-L-I-O-S. Let me spell it again. Megalios, M-E-G-A-L-I-O-S. Megalios. It means that this is the graciousness, the power, the anointing of divine energy, usurping authority over the carnal creation of man. It means you have been brought into a spiritual man, a newness of life. The glory of God has spoken through you, and you will see supernatural activity. Amen? Now that word, megalias, is only used, this is very important. When you see this, try to study, because it's only used one other place in the Bible. Write down by verse 11, by megalios, and by the wonderful works of God, Luke 1:49. Luke 1:49. All right? Who's going to find it for me on the front row here? Sister Mary, find that for me. In Luke 1:49, we have Mary speaking to her cousin Elizabeth. My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, since the Gabriel told me I would be the virgin that would carry the Messiah. My soulless nature doth, present tense, magnify the Lord. But she said, now Elizabeth, I want you to know something. The Holy Ghost told my spirit a long time ago, my spirit hath rejoiced, past tense. The Holy Ghost told me, Mary, don't run with the boys that want to rob you of your virtue or the girlfriends that are loose. Don't you run with those that will cause you to lose your virtue, because Jehovah's going to use you someday. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Amen. So Luke 1:49. You got it, Mary?
For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name.
All right, read it again.
For he who is mighty,
that's El Shaddai,
has done great things for me, and holy is his name.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Now, he hath done what?
Great
things. That's the Greek word megalios. Write it down, for he had done great things. Who? He's mighty. He's the Father. And Mary is saying, he's done great things. He that is mighty has done great things. What great things? The Holy Ghost has moved on me. He has conceived me with the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. She was 3 months along at that time. And so she knew the great things that God has already started within her. So he that is mighty hath done great things. And the word great things is megalios. And holy is his name. Now that, again, here relates to the baptism of the Spirit. If when you speak in tongues, you're speaking the megalios, the wonderful works of God, you are in relationship to the Virgin Mary that literally conceived the Lord Jesus by the Holy Spirit. You and I, by speaking in tongues, spiritually conceive the virtue of the Lord, and wherever we go, virtue goes out of us, and we birth Jesus in every facet of our life. You have that divine capacity. As Mary literally birthed Jesus, you and I spiritually have the presence of the Lord as you speak in tongues. The anointing of the miracle of holy is his name shoots forth from you, and you shall see the glory of the Lord, and miracle after miracle will happen as you put the strength of faith and say, Lord, send your word, accomplish this, set them free, move in this matter, meet this need. The glory of the Lord will birth the anointing of Jesus in every capacity of your life. Whatever it is right now that you want to see accomplished, let's speak in the Spirit. Because the megalios, the anointing of the wonderful works of God, the great things of God, are being sent forth, and you will see the Lord accomplish it. Whatever's in your mind right now, raise your hand and let's speak in the Spirit. Hikandalabashandai, Lord, send the word. Hikandalabashandalamahanda. We're going to see the results of he that is mighty hath done to me great things. Holy is his name. Glory, Mashandala, Mahandala, Mashandala. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Andala, Mashandala, Mahandala. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is not an accessory, it's a command of the Lord. Amen. You wait till you're endued with power. I don't want some sloppy agapes out there preaching my gospel. Hallelujah. God is going to cleanse his house. Judgment has already begun. Amen. The anointing of the Lord. Let's go to John 6, please. Do you want me to continue? It's over my usual time, but do we have some tape? Still yet? Okay. Go to John chapter 6. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Put another yoke of oxen on there. We're going to plow this field. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. So there was a multitude. Andrew and Philip, verse 7. I'm not going to deal with this as much as because it is a statement here that I'm after. But he did have this great miracle of feeding the thousands. Verse 7 of John 6. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Don't minimize what you have. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. So Bible scholars think there was 5,000 men and there was children there by this young man being there. So there was approximately 10 to 15,000 people that were there. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they wanted or would. The 12th verse, and when they were filled, when they were what? Had all they wanted. He said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that what?
Nothing
be lost. Now that's the point here. Put down eternal principle of the Lord. Here is an eternal principle that you and I will benefit from in the feeding of the thousands, of the multitude. He said an eternal principle. He brought it out, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over, underline it, over and above unto them that had eaten. So they took the basket, and those that had eaten over and above, they filled whatever they had passed out. 12 basketful. They only ate his prayer. Actually, when he prays, it'll keep on multiplying. But the principle is the main thing here. Not that the miracle is that a multitude was fed, but the miracle is in the principle that he taught. Nothing is going to be lost. Because over and above what the multitude ate, I will send my disciples, and the baskets will be full. Now, in the same chapter, let's go to verse 36, I believe it is. Let me look at it. Let's go to verse 35. I want to give you some contextual revelation here with the context. I'm heading for verse 39 and 40. But verse 35 says, and Jesus said unto them, underline it please, I am the bread of life. See, they said Moses gave us the manna. And that's about all that we'll ever receive. That's a wonderful miracle. We always look back to that. And Jesus says, greater than Moses is here. In other words, that's what he's saying. I am the living manna. I'm going to sustain you every day with a miracle of provision. But I'm going to teach you while I'm doing this. You're going to have a greater teaching of the sustenance from heaven. Not just for your belly, but for eternal glory within you. You're going to see what the Father's prepared for them that love him. Amen. And so verse 35 said, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. In verse 37, and all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will. Now here we go. I want you to look at this, underline it please. This is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again, when?
At
Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Amen. That's what he's talking about. In your home, in your family, in your business. He's going to raise it up again. Make it personal there. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me. Now let's look at that. That doesn't mean his 33 years of ministry. Of all that the Father's ever what given me? No. See, Jesus always accounted himself as a representative of humanity. As much as you've done it, what? Unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Amen? You visited me, you fed me, you clothed me. As much as you've done it unto whatever the Father's ever given to mankind, to generations from Adam. And whatever the Father will do, I'm going to raise it up. I'm going to take my basket, my glory basket, that's what I call it. I'm going to go back through time. I'm going to go back. He said, I want you to know that I will lose nothing. Whatever the Father's ever given to humanity. And Jesus takes the glory basket. See, it's already accomplished. He just wants you and I to know that he was there when Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. And when Adam fell and Eve fell, Jesus picks up over and above what they had eaten. He picks up the cool of the day anointing, puts it in the glory basket. Hallelujah. Because he's going to raise up the cool of the day anointing in those that live in the last days. And we are one. Amen. That's the anointing that he's preparing us for. And then from Adam and on down to Enoch walked with God and was not. Amen. Oh, the anointing and the glory. And then the authority of Abraham, the faith of Abraham, the grace that Noah had. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord in a very immoral day. And God gave Noah grace. And after Noah had eaten of that grace, Jesus picks up the grace of God given to Noah, and he puts it in the glory basket. For those in the last days that are in immoral age, you're going to have the anointing of God to rebuke it. Amen. It's the same anointing. The same faith that Abraham had after Abraham went through that tremendous faith walk and he was accounted righteous, yea, because of his faith. God picks up the faith of Abraham and Jesus puts it in the glory basket. He's preparing for you and I, and he's going to pour out of his anointing. Amen. He'll pour it out in the last days. That's why Joel said he will pour out of his spirit. What did Joel mean? He meant not only the baptism of the Holy Ghost talking in tongues, but the same faith of Abraham, the anointing and the grace of Noah, the fire of Elijah, the song of David, hallelujah, the glory of God of Elisha, that Elisha prayed for his servant, open my servant's eyes, and the servant saw there was more with them, and the chariots of fire was all around the prophet and the servant. Amen. Your eyes is going to see. Your ear is going to hear it. Hallelujah. And Elijah's mantle of fire, that was put in the glory basket. The anointing of wisdom, the anointing of Solomon, the glory, the peace of David, the authority of the instruments and all of the organs and harps that prophesied, that glory is going to be revealed in the last day. The authority of God through the prophets and Daniel in the lion's den. You're going to be in a situation where the Holy Ghost will pour out upon your life the sustenance of glory that will protect you from the lion's mouth. And the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. The glory of the fourth man is in the basket, prepared to come forth. And that anointing is going to be raised up again. You see that? The wording is again. The glory of God shall be quickened in your life and mine. We're going to see the anointing in Judges 5. I was shocked as I read as Deborah went out to war and Barak, yea, for Israel, they warred against Sisera and all of the army of the enemy. And the Bible says in Judges 5 that the universe and the stars fought with them. I don't know how that happened, but the stars are going to fight with you and I. You're going to be able by faith to destroy asteroids and speak to the universe. There's going to be no limitation on the child of God. So that's what the Lord is talking about. You think the feeding of the thousands were a miracle? Jesus said nothing's going to be lost. Anything the Father's ever done, that's why preaching is so important, to describe, to tell us the experiences of God and His people, is because when we hear them, we know that part of our life is there. We're going to work and walk in it. As Jesus said it, let's read verse 39 and 40. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Hallelujah. That is the strength. That is the purpose of Calvary. That we will lose nothing. Whatever is in this book, whatever He's done with the patriarchs, the prophets, major and minor, and the apostles, and the glory of the fivefold ministry, I loose us into the dimension of divine order that nothing will be lost. Amen? Hallelujah. That's the quickening of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go to Revelation 1. We got some more time, Glenn?
We've got 20 minutes.
We won't take that long, but let's go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Keep the water coming, Glenn, and I'll keep going. Revelation 1, verse 4. He brought us out to what? Bring us in. This is what He's brought us into. Verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from Him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne. John is writing this by the anointing of the Lord. And he's saying, I want you churches to know that He which is, which was, which is to come, He has commissioned me to write this revelation of Jesus Christ. And he says it's also from the seven spirits. What? which are before his throne. There are seven spirits that are to be sent forth, are being sent forth, and these seven Holy Ghost manifestations come from the heart of God. It's all right. Get me a chair and we'll set this on. And as the heart of the Lord receives and sends this forth, the seven spirits of God are given to you and I to accomplish and be prepared for the continents, or the what is contained, I meant to say, in this book. So where are these seven spirits called out? Where are they named? Write down by verse 4, Isaiah 11, and verse 2 and 3. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2 and 3. Give me a reader. Somebody's going to read that for me. The prophet Isaiah spoke of this. It is again brought forth in the last book of the Bible. There are seven spirits of the Lord. So Isaiah 11 and verse 2. Yeah.
And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear or reverence, honor of the Lord.
Good. Read verse 3 too, Glenn.
And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear, reverence, or honor of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither shall reprove after the hearing of his ear.
Now this is Isaiah's prophetic vision and documents of the government of the kingdom, that Jesus will not judge by the seeing of his eye or the hearing of his ear, but he also with righteous judgment. So this is given to us, the same anointing that Jesus will rule and reign. We will rule and reign with him, but we have the accomplishments of these seven spirits of God within us. Now let's look at it. In verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord. Now I've looked up that word. It is not like the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and hath ordained me. It's not the Holy Spirit. This word Spirit, or this one of the seven spirits of God, is the communication that establishes the communication that Adam had with God before the fall. Through the blood covenant, we are reinstated to the cool of the day anointing. And that word Spirit is Ruach. R-U-A-C-H. And that's why God told Ezekiel, prophesy to the wind over the dry bones. Prophesy first to the dry bones, but now I want you to prophesy to the Ruach. I want you to prophesy to the Nephach. That's the original breath that was given to Adam. When God breathed into Adam the breath of life, that Ruach, or the Nephach of breath, was breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. Then that breath created a communion with God that Adam and God could walk together in the cool. And the word cool is the Ruach, the communication. And that's why the Holy Ghost sets up around the throne the seven spirits of God. Number one, the Spirit of the Lord's upon him. What? The cool of the day, communication with the Father. That's to be established in you and I. Amen. Let's desire it. Hallelujah. It's given to us through the cross, through the blood covenant. We are to be reestablished in the cool of the day, anointing, and that glory, that breath that God breathed into Adam. There's only three times in the Bible that breath is mentioned. It's mentioned in Genesis, where God breathed into Adam, and he became a living soul. Then it's mentioned in John chapter 20 in the New Testament. The Hebrew word is nephach, and ruach is assembled in that word. But when Jesus breathed on his disciples the night of his resurrection, he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." After his crucifixion, on the day of his resurrection, he came back, walked with two on the road to Emmaus, came where the disciples were, went through the walls, and breathed on them, and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now that breath, the Greek word there is only mentioned once in your Bible, and it has to do with, it's the Greek equivalent of God breathing into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. It means that Jesus now breathed on every human being, and they become a spiritual soul. And therefore, we are a new creation. It's actually true. We're created in Christ Jesus. So here Jesus breathes on his disciples. Now that breath did not stay with the disciples. When they preached, when they prayed, when they praised, that breath comes out of the anointed individual, and healings come, and virtue goes forth, the anointing of the Lord. When you heard the gospel, or mother's prayers, or a pastor preaching, or some way that you were convicted, that breath was passed on to you. And that word in the Greek is emphuseo. E-M-P-H-U-S-A-O. E-M-P-H-U. Emphuseo. S-A-O. And emphuseo is only found once, where Jesus breathed on his disciples. Now that's twice now. We have in the Bible, Adam received the living soul. Jesus breathed on his disciples. Where's the third place? In Ezekiel 37. In Ezekiel 37, God tells Ezekiel, prophesy to the wind. Prophesy to the creative breath that will breathe on the dry bones, and my people will come forth. The bones will come together. There will be a prophetic glory in the end time. And nations shall come to their full potential. And Israel, the bones will come together. The glory of God will move throughout the land. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost will move. And the bond woman's seed will be set free. And the free woman's seed will come to their full potential of anointing. But the body of Christ has that breath. Amen. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, that breath flows forth from you. And that anointing will bring it to pass. Amen. So that's the creative breath that Jesus breathed. And whenever you sing or praise or preach, the breath of God brings forth new creations in Christ Jesus and fresh anointings upon the people of the Lord. Hallelujah. So the Spirit of the Lord, and I'll just mention the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, the counsel and might, and the fear of the Lord. But then in verse 3, it says quick understanding. And that is the Hebrew word for quick understanding means catch the scent of a hound dog. It means that the Holy Ghost, the anointing of those seven spirits of God, releases within you and I such a discernment that we know things before they happen. We will have sense to smell out situations and then bring forth deliverance. Hallelujah. We will not be driven and wagged, and the tail won't wag the dog. Amen. And we only take action when the devil raises his head. We'll be able to discern, to nip it in the bud. Hallelujah. And the glory of that quick understanding is loosed in you and I, that now we'll not judge by the seeing of our eye nor the hearing of our ear, but with the righteousness of His Word within us. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost will bring forth the judgment begins at the house of the Lord. Spirit of the Lord's judgment is beautiful. It goes before us. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. That authority of our works that were wood, hay, and stubble are burnt up in the Spirit. And we're already quickened by that judgment of the Holy Ghost fire. And our works become silver and gold. Amen. And the glory of that fact comes upon us. Let's go to verse 8, please. How much time, Glenn?
Five.
Hallelujah. All right, verse 8. There's a lot in here. Let's read verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also with pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. And then Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Hallelujah. Let's deal with this word, Alpha. I am Alpha. I've just got a few moments, so let's just deal with, I asked the Lord, what is the scripture that tells us the earliest of your existence? I know we have Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Is that the beginning of your existence? And the Father spoke right back and said, no. I said, well then, is there any scripture that tells us the earliest existence and records it of the Trinity? And the Father spoke to me. And he said, son, it's written in Titus 1, verse 2. Let's go there. He spoke to me very pleasantly to my spirit. And the Apostle Paul gave this great revelation to Titus. It's the Philemon. It's just before Hebrews. And Titus is before Philemon. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. This is a very familiar portion of Scripture, but I've never heard anybody go into it and tell the extent of it or the word wealth of it. But when you see this Scripture, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before time began. Would you write down the two words, before the world began, or before time began, is some translations. Chronon, C-H-R-O-N-O-N. Chronon, the second word is aionion. A-I-O-N-I-O-N. Chronon, C-H-R-O-N-O-N. Aionion is A-I-O-N-I-O-N. Chronon, aionion, means before time or before any creative act. This is the earliest existence of the Trinity that is recorded in Scripture. It's a place where only the Trinity was in existence. It's before heaven was made, before Lucifer, before Michael, before Gabriel, before hell, before earth, before universe, before the galaxies, before time. And the promise was made. The promise. Who did he promise it to? God, who cannot lie, promised you and I salvation. He promised it to, I believe, the same ones that he said, let us make man in our own image, the Trinity. So we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the Father promises eternal life before Adam was ever created, before angels, before anything was ever recorded or in existence. The Father spoke of your eternal life and mine. Now, if the Father, why do we teach this? Because it gives us a great stability of confidence that if God was in charge then, he's in charge now. Amen. Our Father brought forth who cannot lie. I'm going to have redemption. I'm going to bring forth salvation and the anointing. Now, that doesn't mean the Lamb was slain yet. That happened later, because the Trinity was promised eternal life for you and for me. That anointing of that promise gave us eternal life before any creative act. And then we pick it up with Genesis 1:1. The whole universe was created. Heaven and earth was created. Lucifer, one of the archangels, was placed over the earth. And then Lucifer, something happened. And pride was found in his heart. And in Ezekiel 28, verse 12, someone find that. You, is it already gone? All right. Well, it mentions Lucifer sealed up the sun. Sealed up means he took all of the future strategy of God, sealed it up, and now Jesus comes forth in the resurrection and says, I have the keys of death and of hell. Jesus is the one that released the eternal strategy that God the Father promised for you and I before time began. That's how great our salvation is. Amen. Let's praise Him. Glory to God.
For the balance of this service and the prophetic words that were given to individuals,
please play part B. Thank you.